Welcome to Scissor Tail Sessions. My name is Jacqueline Musgrove.
And I'm Aaron Gibson.
Thanks for joining us as we share the threads that connect us all, simply being human.
This is episode 4, and this week we have an especially timely and relevant episode that corresponds with, of all things, Britney Spears. Jacqueline, you want to tell us about it?
Yes. This week I spoke with Megan Radford. She's an activist and advocate for the Free Britney movement. She and the movement she represents was recently featured in the New York Times documentary, which is now airing on Hulu, entitled Framing Britney Spears.
So this is one of those situations where you might want to watch the documentary to have a better idea of what you're talking about, right?
Ideally, yes, but even if you haven't seen it, I think you'll get the gist of it, and Megan does a really good job explaining along the way.
I'll add that not being all that knowledgeable about Britney Spears or the Free Britney movement, I found that there was so much more to the story, the legal aspects, the human rights, mental health issues, all kinds of things come up.
Yes, it's a very complicated and active story with updates coming almost every week. Just a heads up for listeners, I spoke with Megan remotely via Zoom, so you may hear the audio quality is lacking in some spots.
Okay, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Here's your interview with Megan Radford about the Free Britney movement.
Let's talk about Framing Britney Spears that just came out on Hulu. With us today is Megan Radford, an activist, and I would say super fan. Is that a thing, Megan?
Yeah, you could say that.
I would say you're definitely a super fan, which is awesome. Britney Spears, in my simple Wikipedia search, she was born in December of 1981. Is that right?
It is, yes.
She's a grown woman. Just
yes.
After watching the Framing Britney documentary yesterday on Hulu, I think that it just really blew my mind that in 2021 that something like a conservatorship would even be on the table and or enforced with a grown adult woman.
Yeah, it's really mind-blowing. And the documentary did a really great job of sort of setting the foundation for how we got to where we are today, but it was lacking in some of the corruption details that are occurring in this case. And so I think it's amazing, and I'm super, super happy to have been a part of it, but I'm hoping that some more investigative pieces will come out in the future, because there is a lot of corruption in the probate court system in the state of California and in a lot of our country as well. And, you know, Britney's civil and constitutional rights were also denied from the get-go of this thing. And so I'm hopeful that it sheds a lot of light on how we got here, and that people begin to realize that Britney doesn't deserve this. And I think the narrative in the media, which Britney's team has majorly contributed to for a long time, is that she's unstable and she needs this. And so I think when people think of Britney Spears, if they don't know her well, they think of two things. They think of the Catholic schoolgirl from Baby One More Time, and they think her shaving her head, or the umbrella incident with the paparazzi. And those are two glimpses in time, but this is a 39-year-old woman who has been performing rigorously for the past 13 years until she herself started boycotting to be the Britney brand, because she wants her freedom back. And that was the only way she knew how to affect any change for herself. She's either so mentally ill that she needs the conservatorship, in which case there's no way she should be releasing albums and going on world tours and having one of the most successful Las Vegas residencies of all time, or she's not so mentally ill. She doesn't need the conservatorship, and she's being exploited. And the facts definitely support that it's the second one.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched, my biggest takeaway was, sure, you know, Britney Spears is almost 40. She's a mother of two. And then I thought back to, I myself am almost 40 and a mother of one. And I vividly remember, you know, when Max was a brand new baby, that was not easy. That's not an easy point in your life. And I cannot even wrap my mind around having hundreds of paparazzi watching those moments of me struggling in this transition.
Right. She had Irish twins. So she had two kids in 1 year. And she was going through a divorce, a custody battle. Her aunt, who is like her second mom, had just passed away from cancer. And then you add this level of mega fame in the paparazzi world that existed there, that thankfully doesn't exist anymore to that extent. There will probably never be anyone else who experiences that the way that Britney did, because of laws that have been put in place and because of social media. Celebrities control their own images now more so than they ever have. But I think that we as a society failed Britney Spears on multiple occasions, and she's paid a major price because of it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. It just is insane to me how a court system wouldn't just immediately call bullshit on this. I mean, she's a grown woman. And like you said, it's either one or the other. She's completely, you know, mentally not in a good place. So therefore, she would not be able to perform and do these mega tours and residencies. For me, it's just so obvious that this is ridiculous.
She actually attempted to hire two separate attorneys in the early days of the conservatorship and was told that she was not capable of doing so. And so she was court appointed an attorney who's the same attorney who still represents her today. And he is allowed to bill up to $10,000 a week for working on Britney's conservatorship. So there were a lot of other things that happened. Like anyone who's being put into a conservatorship is supposed to be given 5 days notice that it's happening. Jamie Spears basically told the court, you know, if we tell her, she'll be upset and won't want it, so we shouldn't tell her. And the judge approved that. So Britney was actually put into, it was a whole orchestrated thing where Britney was put into a 5150 hold. The first 5150 hold that happened was the incident that a lot of people remember, where she was not wanting to let go of one of her kids in the bathroom. But the second one was a fully orchestrated, no event happened. They planned to get her under a 5150 hold so that they could then petition to get her into a conservatorship. The doctor who had been treating Britney refused to sign the paperwork. And so they essentially just found another random doctor who had never treated Britney to say that she needed the conservatorship. And court documents actually indicate that the reason why she was able to get the conservatorship was because the doctor alleged a dementia-related illness. So that's pretty mind-blowing in and of itself.
A brand new mother of two and going through the divorce from Kevin Federline, correct?
Yes.
What year was that?
This was February 1st, 2008.
Really, it seems like Jamie was just waiting for an opportunity to do something like this. My very novice take on the situation.
He definitely was. Britney had cut her family out of her life because she was tired of them all living off of her. So it's interesting timing too. Also, Jamie Spears is not an incredibly intelligent man. So he is not generally seen as the mastermind of the conservatorship. There was a woman who basically came into the Spears family's life and kind of preyed on them and convinced Jamie that a conservatorship was the way to go. And that woman has made allegedly millions of dollars off of the arrangement. There is a substantial amount of corruption in this case. I'm really grateful that light is finally being brought to it, but I just hope that it will continue to affect more change for Britney's conservatorship and for conservatorship abuse as a whole.
Megan, what is your connection to the Free Britney movement and or the Framing Britney documentary?
I'd always been a supporter of the Free Britney movement, and I shared a lot of information with friends and family and things of that nature. And then I decided in January 2020 that I was going to fly halfway across the country to Los Angeles to attend one of the rallies outside the courthouse. One of the biggest ways the movement applies public pressure, in addition to social media, is physically hosting peaceful rallies outside the courthouse during Brittany's court hearings. And so I decided that I needed to be there. I just felt like that's what I needed to do. So I went. I didn't know anyone. My heart was pounding when I walked up with my little poster. And, you know, I immediately was welcomed. And it was honestly one of the coolest experiences, because after a whole lifetime of me having to justify and explain why I loved Britney Spears, I was finally in a place where everyone understood and everyone was there for the same reasons. And it was a really powerful thing for my life personally. After that, I just connected with a lot of fans, and I ended up kind of helping with some of the marketing of the movement, since that's what I do in my day job, and started helping to organize rallies and that sort of thing. So now I fly out to most rallies. I don't always make every single one. I am a full-time working mom, so definitely have competing priorities at times. But I make most of them. And then because of COVID, both the December rally and the February rally, which is on February 11th, have been virtual. So I participate from Oklahoma City.
Take it back a little further. You have always been a fan of Britney. Did it start out when she hit the scene in the 90s?
October 1998, when Baby One More Time burst onto the scene. I fell in love pretty much immediately.
And what do you think it is that connects so many people with her? What do you think that spark is that people are just drawn to her?
I think people are drawn to Britney because she's always been really authentic. You know, she wasn't afraid to talk about her struggles or just to be herself. She never tried to put up this like front that I feel like a lot of celebrities do. And so I think I just connected to her on a different level than any other musician or pop star that I liked.
In watching the Framing Britney documentary, it became very apparent to me that, you know, she was just a down-to-earth Southern girl, very girl next door, innocent. I mean, really a child, you know, was thrust into this limelight, I would say, being exploited.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Mickey Mouse days, you know, definitely, I feel like she probably loved that. Things may have changed when the financial gains were multiplying rapidly. What do you think about that?
I think she's always loved to perform. I think that has been, Britney is a something that a lot of people may not realize who aren't major fans. Britney's really shy, but it's almost like she's like an alter ego on stage, and she's a totally different person. So I really do believe that she loves to perform. But yeah, I don't think the way that we've treated her as a society, I mean, it's been so messed up. Can you imagine having to sit through an interview where Barbara Walters, who's like this incredibly well-respected journalist, is playing a clip of some woman telling you that she would like to shoot you, and then having to answer questions about it? I mean, it's insane. And the Matt Lauer interview too, where he asks her if, you know, if her one of her biggest wishes was the paparazzi to leave her alone, and she starts crying and says yes. I mean, I think that she wanted to be famous and she wanted to perform because she loved to perform, but I don't think that she realized the price that she would have to pay for that path.
Right. And I think the juxtaposition, the documentary touched on it briefly, but the hand that Britney Spears was dealt was not the same hand that at the same time the Backstreet Boys and or NSYNC were handed, because they're men.
Yep. 100% because they're men.
Yeah. And I feel like it really made it apparent to me they were selling the sexualization of a young girl.
Totally agree.
What is your take on that? Why do you think that that was the way it was?
I think, like you said, it's because she was a woman. And how could we possibly, you know, talk to a woman or do anything? Like, it all had to be about sex. like old men asking if she'd be their boyfriend, asking about her boobs and if she was a virgin and all of this stuff, that those same questions weren't being asked to the boy bands. And I just think that our society, you know, our culture has been geared toward the sexualization of women for a long time. And while we have made a lot of progress, I feel like, in light of the Me Too movement and Time's Up in the last several years, we're still not anywhere near where we need to be. And I think Britney, just the timing of her bursting onto the scene and her success, she was really put in the middle of that tornado path. And unfortunately, it cost her a lot.
I don't feel like the media today would be able to get away with the way that they treated her and or the questions they asked her point blank in this day and age. But what do you think? Do you think the media would be able to treat a young performer, you know, superstar, celebrity, the way that they treated her in the 2000s? Would they be able to do that today?
Absolutely not. Not after Me Too and Time's Up. But yet we still treat Britney like crap. The media still treats Britney like crap. And because it's like she's been immortalized or put in a time capsule. And since we treated her like that, then I guess it's still okay to do it now. But I also think her team plays into it a lot. I think her team, we call them Team Con because they're team conservatorship. You know, they want her to look unstable. They want her to look like she needs the conservatorship. So I think the media, either it's possible that they have paid relationships or they just buy into what Team Con is selling. So I hope, my biggest hope for this documentary, and so far it seems to be the way that it's going, is that it changes the public perception of Britney and that we start treating her a lot more fairly. And then I also hope that it elevates her case. I think the Free Britney movement has had a huge hand in the recent developments in Britney's case, and I want to take it all the way.
So let's talk about the conservatorship. You said it went into place in 2009. Is that correct?
It was first put into place in 2008, and then it was made in early 2008, and then it was made permanent at the end of 2008.
That's, you know, at least 15 years have passed, right? What does that look like now? Is it the same conservatorship agreement, or has it morphed as it has become more apparent that, you know, she really doesn't have any mental deficits?
I'll go over kind of high level a few things that happened in recent years. So it largely continued. We just had the 13-year anniversary of the conservatorship being put in place. And for a long time, it continued to operate as business as usual. And then in November of 2018, one of the conservators, an attorney named Andrew Wallet, he petitioned the court for a very substantial raise. And in his petition to the court asking for a raise, he called the conservatorship a hybrid business model and said that Britney had increased capacity and that it was more of a business arrangement. And basically, he'd be so busy working on her business that he needed this raise. So that was November 2018. And then he resigns abruptly in March of 2019. So he just referred to it as a hybrid business model, said that Britney had basically great capacity to make decisions for her career. And then he abruptly resigns. The voicemail comes out in April 2019. And that's when we learned that Britney had been being held in the mental health facility against her will. So my guess is that his resignation had something to do with that, although I don't know for sure. The Free Britney movement launches full force. The judge in Britney's case demands to see Britney in person in May of 2019. She hadn't seen her in person for several years because everything was just kind of operating status quo. Britney, it wasn't, that summer of 2019, Lynn Spears, who'd been Britney's mom, who'd been largely held in the dark about the happenings of the conservatorship, basically filed to be an interested party in the conservatorship, meaning for the first time ever, she would get to see all of the documentation. And then it was August of 2020 when Brittany first filed anything indicating that she was requesting formal changes to the conservatorship. And so that's the legal battle that's going on currently.
And I feel like that's when I came abreast to what was going on with the Free Brittany movement and the conservatorship. Is when it sort of started going viral online. People started posting about it and really became intrigued in this situation because it was so apparent that there was a smoke and mirrors situation going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
This whole time, her father is in charge of all of her finances, her medical decisions, where she lives, the whole kit and caboodle. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, actually, until September of 2019, when he allegedly abused one of Brittany's kids. And the documentary didn't go into this very much, and I was kind of disappointed, but Kevin Federline filed for a restraining order between Jamie and Brittany's kids, and it was granted for 3 years based on whatever happened behind closed doors in that situation. So literally, Brittany's children have a restraining order against Brittany's dad, who is the man who is in control of her life. So he was forced to step down as conservator of her person, because the conservator of the person manages the visitation between Brittany and her kids. Although I think he cited something like health reasons for why he was stepping down, but obviously that wasn't why he was stepping down. So now there's a woman named Jody Montgomery, who is the conservator of Brittany's person, but Jamie Spears remains conservator of the estate, which is really all he cares about because that's where the money is.
So even in the documentary, I feel like they made it very obvious that from the get-go, from the beginning creation of Britney Spears that we know today, his bottom line was the dollar. When her assistant and her are in New York, and the documentary just had a little clip about him asking, you know, well, how much money is this going to bring us?
Yes, he was definitely always in it for the money.
Let's talk about the, I guess, public battle between Britney and Justin when they had their breakup. You know, it infuriated me watching in that documentary how he really had control of that entire situation. Really a point when things started going downhill for her.
Yeah, you know, he launched his entire career as a solo artist in the wake of their breakup, and with the album Justified, which had a ton of breakup songs on it, including Cry Me a River. And people ate it up, including me. I was a Justin Timberlake fan for a long time. I saw him in concert several times. And then a few years ago, I read an article on BuzzFeed about basically how many times he has exploited her and her name to basically, like, he'll do an interview where he mentions her anytime he's about to launch a new project. And he'll give some piece of information that he's never given before to make sure that it's going to make headlines and just all this stuff. And so I just completely quit being a fan of his because I think it's disgusting. Not to mention, on top of that, what he did to Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl all those years ago. We watched him cheat on his wife on film last year. Like, there was film of him obviously having an inappropriate interaction with another woman. That was in the news for like a couple days, but Britney Spears cheating on Justin supposedly is a story that will get told over and over and over for the rest of time. Like, it's just, it's messed up.
Definitely, definitely. I just think that it is insane how the media gives him and, you know, other celebrity males a platform for really crucifying their exes.
Yeah. Well, and like, think about too, like Justin Bieber, when he was first becoming an adult, had a lot of really erratic behavior where he, you know, punched a paparazzi and all this other stuff. We saw Charlie Sheen, the, what was it, like hashtag winning or whatever, when he was clearly dealing with substance abuse and probably some mental health issues as well. All these mm-hmm. male celebrities have been allowed to act out and to have it be excused and swept under the rug. But Britney Spears is still being punished for things that she did literally 15 years ago. And it's just, it's insane. The double standard in our society is absolutely insane.
I mean, I really feel like when you boil it all down, the media to this day still crucifies her for experiencing some mental health issues after having two children.
Yep. And my personal belief is that she suffered from pretty severe postpartum depression, but I don't know for sure, obviously, and it's not really our business. But the point is that we've villainized a woman who didn't deserve it. And it's heartbreaking. This whole case, the more you learn, the more heartbreaking it is. And, you know, postpartum depression in 2021, we barely talk about. It's like, we've come a long ways in our mental health journey as a society, talking about therapy, being open to going to therapy and that sort of thing, taking antidepressants and other things like that. But for some reason, we still don't want to touch postpartum depression, because a woman is just supposed to have a baby and then everything's supposed to be completely fine. The fact that we can barely talk about it in 2021, there was definitely no talking about it in 2005 and 2006 when Britney was, in my opinion, probably experiencing it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. As far as the conservatorship goes, do you think, does she have any chance of getting out of this and at least being able to dictate her day-to-day life? Or do you think that, unfortunately, this is the way it will be?
I have hope that she will get out. What I'm concerned about is that I don't think her father is the only bad guy in this situation. Her court-appointed attorney is involved in other cases of conservatorship abuse. And I just, like I said earlier, he can bill up to $10,000 a week on her case. So there's just a lot of money being made by a lot of people. And Britney is paying for all of those people. Before 2020 was the first year that basically both sides also added litigators because they knew that they were gearing up for a battle. But before, I haven't seen the 2020 accounting. The accounting of the conservatorship comes out once a year. And before, we added all these extra lawyers on top of the lawyers who were already there, cost her more than $1 million a year. And now we've added a lot more lawyers. So it's definitely even more expensive. And she's funding both sides of it. She's funding a legal battle against herself. But I still, at the end of the day, have a lot of hope that with public pressure from the Free Britney movement, and also with the credibility of the New York Times doing this piece on Hulu, that more people will feel empowered to speak up, people who really know things, who are probably mm-hmm. under ironclad NDAs and haven't spoken up to this point. But I'm hoping that people will realize that they need to, and that Britney will continue to fight in court. And I definitely hope and pray that she is a free woman someday.
I feel like the documentary was really well done, but I'm wondering, what's your perspective and or takeaways? Do you feel like everything that was portrayed, that's how it was? Or were there any, I guess, loose flaws that struck a chord with you?
They only had 75 minutes, and the Times has very strict fact-checking where every fact presented in a film has to be verified by 3 independent sources. So I think that they did a really good job of covering what they could. I met with the director a week or two ago to just kind of talk through it, because some of us in the movement were really nervous about how it was going to portray Britney's story. And so when we talked to her, she said that first couple cuts that they did, people didn't have enough of a basic understanding of why they should even care about the legal battle side of things. That's when they really decided that they needed to take it back and really show people what Britney actually went through to get to where we are today. I think it accomplished that really well, but I definitely have some critiques as far as, you know, they didn't include enough of the civil rights violations and the corruption and what I believe allegedly that her dad has been mismanaging her money, if not stealing it, to be frank. And so some of that was not portrayed, but I think it was a really good kind of beginner's guide to what Free Britney is about. And it was incredibly well done. It was a beautiful piece of film. And I'm hoping that it will lead to other more investigative pieces or for people to do their own research and things of that nature.
What do you think is next? What is next? Is there a court case on the docket to keep this dialogue going? Do you know of any, I guess, power plays that Britney is capable of making and or has in the works?
At the end of the day, Britney needs to file to terminate the conservatorship. What I'm a little bit unclear on is if she knows that, because her company isn't necessarily acting in her best interest, in my opinion. But they also could have a legal strategy in place where they want to get her dad out first because they think it'll help terminate the whole thing. So, you know, obviously I don't know all of the legal strategy, but the next hearing is February 11th. And then she has two more hearings already on the docket as well. One is March 17th, I believe, and then there's one at the end of April. So Britney's case has a lot of continuations and delays and things of that nature. So I'm not necessarily hopeful for any particular outcome at any of these next three hearings, but time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, I think in the very least, if the media and social media can just keep the momentum going and keep it present, I feel like that will help her.
Absolutely. Me too. We have a website. The URL is freebritney.army. We'll also have court updates from the hearing itself. This movement is much bigger than just Britney, and that we really need to reform the probate courts in general and stop conservatorship abuse as a whole.
Well, Megan, I want to thank you for joining us today, because I think that the more people that can spread this message and keep it on the forefront, the better for Britney's outcome. Subscribe to Scissor Tail Sessions on Apple Podcast. We would really appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating, and added bonus, leave us a positive review. Be sure to visit us on scissortailsessions.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, find us at scissortailsessions.com.